Hey everyone, it's Lisa. So every year for the last 6 years, Bright Horizons has conducted a research study called the Modern Family Index. It surveys working parents on issues that affect them, like the mental load, burning out, and moms who feel like they're being penalized at work just for being moms. Well, this year we wanted to see if things have gotten better since our first Modern Family Index. So we asked, and the data showed pretty much what we feared.
Not a lot has changed, and in some cases, things have even gotten worse.
This is our VP of Communications, Eileen Serpa, on our recent webinar discussing the findings.
Even though I think we read in the news a lot about workplace cultures that can be progressive and some of the neat anecdotal things that are going on in some wonderful organizations, and that's terrific, when we really look at the whole population and we look at the entire workforce and people who work in a variety of industries, things aren't that great for working parents.
So yeah, it's kind of a downer. But we're going to talk to one of our experts today who gives us some perspective on this year's findings. She's going to offer some insight into what we can all do to support working parents and make the work-life equation a little better.
You're listening to The Work-Life Equation, the Bright Horizons podcast for busy working families. Whether you're a working mom, a dad, or you're busy caring for other family members, we've got tips for how to fit jobs and families together and for how to make your work-life equation add up.
Working parents need to give themselves permission to recharge. It's better for you, your family, and your work if you take a little bit of time for yourself.
This is Bright Horizons VP Jennifer Vina. She's referencing a recent Harvard Business Review article that says, among other things, that parents need to be okay with taking me time.
So for people like me who are an introvert, it might be making sure you have some alone time. For others, it could be exercise or journaling, drawing, you know, just spending time with friends, whatever kind of makes you feel good and recharges you so that you can take on the parenting as well as your work responsibilities.
Oh, I definitely hear that, Jennifer. For me, going for a run is non-negotiable. Before we dive into the data, though, can you please introduce yourself?
I have been with Bright Horizons for 31 years. My role with Bright Horizons is providing consultation to employers around their employees' childcare needs, as well as their overall employee well-being. And have spent my time with Bright Horizons going through many of the life stages, starting as a single college graduate and becoming married and then having and raising 3 children.
So the first data point is going to sound familiar to a whole lot of people. I know it does to me. People are burning out. That 38% of working parents are suffering from burnout today, an increase of a third since 2015. That seems like a big number to me. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. It's not surprising to me that that number has increased over time between the Modern Family Indexes that we have done. And I think a lot of that is also due to technology. We are facing an onslaught of information on a daily basis. So people have information coming at them through all of their devices. We get so many emails and whatnot that I think it's just adding to the overload parents feel as they're trying to balance raising children as well as working. It's not surprising to me that people are burning out and burning out at a higher rate. And we're even seeing that with, you know, high school age children as well in terms of what's being asked of them in high school. And I think part of that is the impact of technology on them as well.
That's playing out not just in the number of things that are being fired at us, but at the times that it's coming.
Yes. Being a global environment these days, people are working 24/7. Technology is allowing them to work 24/7, even if they're not dealing with overseas in their jobs. It's just hard to ever disconnect unless you put your device down or turn it off. You're getting family things coming at you during the workday and work things coming at you when you're trying to be home with your family. So it's just a constantly your mind is on. And so it's really hard to ever be able to shut down and just relax.
Now, I know I've had experience with this, and I'm guessing that pretty much anyone listening has had experiences with this. How about you?
Definitely. I was managing the consulting team here for Bright Horizons when I had a 2-year-old, an 8-year-old, and an 11-year-old, and just reached a point where I felt like I was not able to do my best on either front and was kind of starting to feel, I guess, the beginning of burnout. and really decided that I needed to do something about that and to take care of myself and be the best for my family and my work. And so I asked to reduce my hours, which luckily Bright Horizons is very supportive and agreed to, but I didn't give up any responsibility. So that first step really didn't work well for me. And quickly I asked to actually step down from my supervisory role and go back to being an individual contributor and working only 20 hours a week. And again, received tremendous support to do that from Bright Horizons and proceeded to do that role for 10 years. And it was perfect. It allowed me to work part-time when my children were at school. I still use the Bright Horizons Child Care Center for my youngest. And then I was able to pick my children up after school, do the after-school activities, and really felt like that provided the time I needed to be good at both aspects of my job. And it allowed Bright Horizons to retain my intellectual capital. They saw the value of that, of what I could produce and contribute at a part-time level for those years. And then after sending two kids off to college, I was promoted back to be vice president and manage the practice again. So it really helped both of us. It built tremendous loyalty in myself for the organization, while also allowing Bright Horizons to hold on to the intellectual capital I had and the contributions I could make while I chose to reduce hours for a period and then come back full time.
Yeah, we actually had somebody in the past who said, and I think so many people would agree with this, that working mothers are the best bargain in the business because they always give more than you expect.
Yes. And I think for employers, it really pays off if you can, you know, listen to employees who might present a plan for something that will make their life more manageable, because like I mentioned, it'll build tremendous loyalty and discretionary effort. So there are definitely times on that part-time schedule where I put in more hours when a project needed to get done. And I was excited and happy to do that, knowing that, you know, I had been able to regularly work this part-time schedule.
So again, from an actionable perspective, if you were going to advise somebody who was going to have to make the same case that you made all of that time ago, I want to dial back so I can raise my child, what advice would you give them?
Yes. And working parents in general, I would say when we hold focus groups, which is part of what we do with the employers when we do our consulting engagements, we often hear people say that when they became a parent, they became much more effective and efficient at work because they realized that they had to leave on time in order to make the commute to pick up their child from childcare before the center closed. And so they had to get all their work done within the workday. There was no, oh, I'll just stay late tonight ability for them. And so that made them much more efficient and productive.
You know, it's so interesting because we're talking about how working parents bring so much value, and yet the next data point that we have says that people are afraid to talk about their families at all. They feel that having families actually devalues them. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I guess I would advise them, you know, to think through the value they bring to the organization and the value they would continue to bring to the organization in this limited capacity. I would definitely advise them to make sure that they do reduce their job responsibilities if they're going to reduce their hours. That was the mistake I made the first time around, because they really need to go hand in hand. You can't keep doing the same job in fewer hours. That will burn you out even faster. But I think making the case for the employer of how it's going to work, how you will be reachable, how you, you know, will still be committed to your job, and how you will still stay in contact with the team if you're working within a team structure, really thinking through all the logistics and the process around how you'll make it a successful arrangement.
Our jaws literally fell to the table as you told that story.
Yes, it's interesting. I was just flying home last night from a business trip and ran into a working mother in the airport, and we were just talking about our lives. And she was sharing with me that she has been told by her boss that she's been passed over for a promotion twice because she has, quote, too much going on at home, end quote. I knew this happened, but I was kind of floored that a supervisor would actually state that directly to an employee as to why they weren't getting promoted. So it definitely does have an impact on folks in certain work environments.
And yet people are faking sick days. A quarter of people are faking sick days. 20% of people feel like they have to lie about their family responsibilities. What is that about?
Yeah, mine did as well. And I think that's because we, you know, we work for such a caring organization that is so family friendly and so respectful of family responsibilities and realizes that, you know, employees come to work as whole people. They don't check their parenthood at the door or whatever else is going on in their life. And so by acknowledging that and respecting that and giving the employees the choice of what they want to pursue or choose not to pursue will provide the best employee experience and then promote you know, again, that loyalty and connection to their employer.
And yet people are faking sick days. A quarter of people are faking sick days. 20% of people feel like they have to lie about their family responsibilities. What is that about?
I think it's this fear and perception that, you know, if they are leaving work for a family responsibility, they'll be viewed as less committed, and so that they will be passed over for promotions or not seen as valuable. Unfortunately, there's still some environments where face time is thought more highly of than what's produced by the employee. And, you know, again, in focus groups, we hear stories, and I will never forget the story of one dad who talked about how, because being in the office was so important for his employer, that he would leave his jacket on the back of his chair and his lights on in his office and maybe, you know, put a coffee cup out to really make it look like he was still there and still working, just not in the office that moment if anyone walked by when he left work early to go watch his son's baseball game.
Wow. Once again, you know, my jaw's just dropping to the floor. Although I do remember somebody on a previous podcast talking about commitment checks, that the old school act of management walking through an office to see who was still there. Mm-hmm. So to see how committed they were.
Yeah. And it's really not a good measurement of commitment. You know, that's not a good way to gauge how much someone's contributing or accomplishing and working towards the business goals.
Well, especially since on the other side, they're logging on as soon as they get home and feeling pressured to be on all the time.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. So again, one of the other shocking things about all of this is in addition to being on all the time, in addition to feeling like they can never shut down, they also feel that family, as we have said in the past, the family still means fired. So working parents worry that attending to family responsibilities may result in them being fired, denied a raise, missing out on a promotion. I mean, you've talked a little bit about this, but is there malevolence, or is it what somebody once said to me is benevolent discrimination going on, where people are being denied assignments because they're trying to keep them from being overwhelmed?
You know, it's probably some of both, but I will say I think sometimes, and even in that story I told you before about the boss who said she had too much going on at home, I think in some ways they think they're protecting them. They think that we know you've got all this, so we don't think you can handle that. And it's really not a fair assessment for a supervisor to make. It really should be the employee's call of whether they want to take that on or not take that on. And I realized that supervising a team here is that I had a couple of employees who really were so motivated by their professional development and what they accomplished as an employee, that was really important to them to continue to have challenges even as they were raising their family. And so they did not want to give up one for the other, nor should they have to. And so it was really important that, you know, my initial reaction when they came back from leave might be like, oh, this project is a lot of travel. They probably don't want to travel yet. And as a supervisor, you can't make that assumption. You need to ask them, letting them know that either choice is okay, you know, if they would choose to pass on this one because they'd rather not travel. But if they are ready and want to travel, that they should have that opportunity and not be denied the project just because we're assuming what they want.
It sounds like maybe there's some actions that the employee can take to speak up about what they want proactively and to make a really succinct plan before leave and after coming back. Is that true? Would that help?
I think that would help. I think communication is the key to a lot of this. And I think one of our prior Modern Family indexes showed that many working women are concerned about telling their supervisor when they're pregnant because they're concerned those thoughts will already start changing about them as in the type of employee they can be. And I think communication will solve that. So sitting down and when you're saying, I am expecting a child, to say, here's my plan. Here's what I would like to do. I'm going to work up until, you know, this time, and I'd like to be off this amount of time, and then come back and do this to show your level of engagement and what you're hoping to accomplish as a working parent.
We actually did a whole podcast about strategies for how to go out and come back and how to preserve your career on both sides. I think it's a really important conversation.
Yes, it's definitely, and it's one that supervisors and employees should be having on a regular basis, talking about their career goals, regardless of, you know, their family status. But also it's really important when you are having a family change to talk about what it is that you're expecting your role to continue to be and what you'd still like your professional growth and development to be.
Do you think, I mean, is this data, this 32% of people feeling that they're going to get fired or denied a raise, do you think that that's demonstrative of the larger population, that people are feeling that across the country?
I think it probably is. There was a recent Harvard Business School report called The Caring Company, and it surveyed U.S. employees. And one of their findings was that in the absence of a supportive, what they called care culture within an organization, employees worry that admitting caregiving responsibilities will penalize their career growth. And they cited lower increases and lower bonuses and unsatisfactory career growth as harmful consequences of that. So it's coming up in multiple sources, not just in our study.
Is there anything that employees can do is there any actionable advice for them?
It's pretty hard because it's on the culture of the organization. So I think there's more an employer can do to set the stage for employees to feel comfortable bringing their whole selves to work. That's an easier step in terms of what the employer can do than what the employee can do if they're in an environment that does not feel as supportive. Again, I think I would go back to communication of having those conversations with their direct supervisor that they're feeling this way and that's not the way they would like to be viewed or the feelings they would like to have in their place of employment.
In addition to feeling those things, I think working parents are also notoriously hard on themselves. One of the things that we learned from a webinar when we looked through the chat was the number of people talking about guilt and talking about, you know, feeling like they need to prove themselves at home and at work. And adding to that is the fact that the Modern Family Index showed that people were missing out on family events and they felt there was a personal cost to this, that 3 in 5 people told us that they were unable to participate in a family activity because of work. And more than 40% said their partner has given them a tough time for missing special occasions with their loved ones, which certainly weighs on people that are already sort of beating themselves up. Can you talk about that a little?
Yes. And that stat really kind of made me sad because I've always told my kids when I've been raising them that, you know, the world's tough out there, so we need to support each other. So the fact that you have partners adding on to the guilt is unfortunate because that's not helping the situation. That's just adding to the stress and the guilt of what they're experiencing. As I've raised my family, I've really looked at it as if you want to make sure you're at as many events and as part of your family's activities and lives as possible. But there are sometimes many events. So if you have any children that play sports like I did, there were 20 or more soccer games a season and baseball and softball games a season. And so if I traveled for work and needed to miss 1 or 2 games, it wasn't the end of the world. Hopefully their other parent, their dad was there, and there were enough games for me to go to that I didn't feel like I missed out too much. But if there is like one event, you know, if there's only one band concert or one school play performance, those dates I really wanted to keep on my calendar so that I didn't miss those. Because those were kind of a one-time, once-in-a-life, especially like a graduation, even if it's from 5th grade, you know, that is really important to your child and you don't want to miss those big life events. But it is hard, and I think it's a reality of being a working parent, especially if you have a job where either you might need to travel or you might have a really busy season, like I think of, you know, CPAs and tax season. There are going to be times when you do have to work longer hours or miss some things. And I think we have to kind of give ourselves permission that's it's okay and to not kind of take on as much guilt.
You know, anyone who knows me has heard me say this a billion times, and I think I've said it a few times on this podcast, in fact, that my kids are grown and I suffered along like everybody else, worrying that every moment that I missed was going to be remembered by them forever. And I remember all of them, and my children remember none of them.
Yeah, because they're focused on themselves. I mean, they're playing the game or they're doing the activity, or so they're busy. I think that is true.
I can let parents off the hook here. I can go back and relive every agonizing moment, and my kids will look at me and they will say, I don't remember that at all.
Well, one of the saddest things, my daughter's now 21, but she told me a number of years ago, she's like, you know, I don't really remember our family vacations before I was like 10. I'm like, really? Like, I guess those were for me then, because I remember all of them. But
it is true. My children have said that as well. And they are for us. It's all for us. And actually, this is a really good question for you, Jennifer, because you have such a unique perspective. In the consulting front, you're working to help employers and employees and getting perspectives on both sides from focus group and the work that you're doing. So from those two perspectives, how can you advise employees and employers? It's really important. We're seeing things happen like people are ceasing having children, or birth rates are going down because it just looks so inhospitable to young people. How can we make this better?
I think I'm headed off to the Great Place to Work Summit next week up in San Francisco. And their real focus is on making it a great place to work for all, which means for everybody, whether you're a working parent, whether you are wanting to go back to school and get an advanced degree, no matter who you are or what your goals are, that the workforce is supportive of you. So I think the main thing that an employer can do is provide that supportive work environment. So provide that culture of feeling that you can bring your whole self to work, that you can share your goals, whether they're personal goals or work goals, with your employer. And as an employee, it's your responsibility. So I'm a big personal responsibility person. So I think it's your responsibility to advocate for what you need. So whether that is, a flexible schedule, whether that is additional training, what is it that you need to feel you're most successful at work and at home? And so I guess those were my parting words to employees is, to advocate for yourself in a very positive and constructive way of what is going to make it work for you.
There are two other things in there that when you talk about employer responsibility, I think part of it is equity to make sure that everybody feels that flexibility, for example, isn't just for parents. It's for everybody, whether they're going off to pick up a sick child or a sick dog.
Right, or a sick parent.
Right.
Or they could, be really on a serious training regimen to try to run a half marathon or something. So it's really what's important to them in life. And as an employer, you should want to help your employees succeed in their life goals, because when they achieve those goals, it will make them more productive for you as an employer. They will be more engaged at work and happier to come to work because they're being successful in all aspects of their life. So it really contributes to overall employee well-being, which is a strong focus of having a positive employee experience as well. So helping them with their personal life, with their financial well-being, with their mental health, as well as having a good work experience.
My manager also talks a lot about the manager experience and the fact that when the boss shares his or her personal challenges, it opens up the ability for people that work for them to do the same.
Yes, I have a great story about that. So when I was first leading the consulting practice, when my oldest children were young, I booked Mondays from 8 to 9 to be in my child's classroom. So I was a classroom helper every Monday, and my team knew that. They knew that's where I was and that I'd be at work at 9 o'clock. And I didn't realize how important that was to be a role model and honestly share and be very transparent about where I was every Monday until I did that stepping down and reverted to being their colleague, essentially, working my 20 hours a week. And they made me a nice little thank you book for having been their supervisor. And one of them said, "You made a difference in my life because you gave me permission to be able to take time to go, to my son's events or volunteer in his classroom or do what was important to her in raising her children because I modeled that behavior." And so I think that's something supervisors really can do for their employees, whether it's taking vacation and going on a vacation and truly disconnecting, or, allocating time and showing it's okay to spend time with your family.
That is so nice. I hear that's really important for dads too. Every once in a while you read, actually more than every once in a while, you read on, say, LinkedIn or maybe even in a newspaper about a male leader who very deliberately announces he's walking out the door to go to a soccer game or a parent-teacher conference in order to say it's okay for the rest of the dads to do it too.
Yes. And that role modeling is key. And they've done that recently with men who have taken the paid paternity leave to demonstrate that it's okay to take this time off and it's not going to harm your career and that it's important for you to bond with your child as well. And so it's great to have those role models.
And when men can help more, it helps women too.
Definitely.
You can find more on our latest Modern Family Index on our webpage at brighthorizons.com/modern-family-index. And also take a listen to our webinar recording, Parenting into the New Decade. It features two of our own VPs sharing their insights on being working parents themselves. If you like what you heard today, get more of our podcasts by subscribing. While you're downloading, let us know what you thought or give us a share. Thanks to everyone for being here. We look forward to seeing you next time as we help make the work-life equation add up.